My people, what is up? We're back with another episode, and a very special episode. Had to bring in my guy, and also my chef, Elliot Brown.
My guy, what's up, brother?
What's up, bro? Glad to be having this.
Bro, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Counting it down.
Yeah, for sure. I remember, I was just was thinking about just the first day walking in the biscuit when you just had open and, just getting the biscuit. I remember just going back in my house and just being like, we had a good talk, but after that, it was just like, man, this is fire, but that's going to be my dog because I'm going to be back every day for sure.
Yes, sir. So it's been very organic, bro.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm very thankful for our relationship and the road and the road that has led us here. You know, frequency is a real thing. I never question it.
100%.
So how was your last year? I was asking Brandon that, like, outside of, like, you know, us being together, like, how was last year for you?
It was cool, dude. It was a big transition in life. You know, like, I feel like everything I've been working for was kind of led up to this moment since I was 19. So basically when I went to tour my culinary school, like on the way home, it was without a doubt, like I knew that I found what I was supposed to do for one. And then two, I knew like the end goal was a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically that or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of emotions as far as like, I was really proud of myself. It was a crazy amount of work and it was hard, bro. It was so hard. But I mean, like, the most rewarding work, like, I was telling someone, like, it's not that I work any more or less than I have, like, I've always worked the same amount of hours, but it being for my own work or my own spot, it just, like, it's a different feeling, but
mm-hmm.
It's been wild, dude. And I mean, not only that, but being a dad, trying to make time for myself, not having time for myself, but still, like, it has to happen. Like, it was just been kind of a whirlwind. And then when Brandon came on, that was a game changer. Just having someone that that I trusted. Because, I mean, you were there my first day. Or did you? I don't know if you were working there yet when Brandon started.
No, I wasn't. It was a little behind.
So
like
my
a month
first
or so.
Vacation was his first day,
mm-hmm.
which is wild to think. But, like,
just the relief you needed.
Yeah, and it shows you how much trust we have. And, like, same thing with him. Like, we've always known we're going to do something together. We're going to have our own spot together. But literally my first vacation from starting the whole process was his first day, which was also kind of crazy because, like, he didn't know Cam for real. He knew Sam, like, just through being around me for real. And then he knew Josh from former work. But having him come on was a huge relief. So I literally, like, I wasn't even there. I left that morning. I knew he would be there. I was like, be there at 7. And just like, but like, we worked in, I think, 3 spots together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I knew we had the same standard. We had the same level of everything. And I knew he would kind of take the process well. But it's been wild. It's been wild.
I love B. He's very quiet. He's very quiet, but besides in our own time, but like, you know, during service and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, he lives loudly, and I love that. I love that dude.
Yeah,
you know,
he's,
like,
we've been friends a long time.
Yeah.
Bro. Like, really long time. Not everyone knows, but my first day of varsity football, we both played the same position. We both played corner. And you know, like, well, you probably started varsity, but I was on JV.
Yeah, I did as a freshman.
Yeah. See, I didn't do that in my school. No, we didn't do that. But, you know, like, you're just kind of nervous and, like, keeping to yourself. And Brandon was the first, like, upperclassman to say something to me. He just came up to me and was like, what's up, bro? I'm Brandon. Basically, like, welcome to varsity.
And it was just, I had, like, one of them dogs. And that's when – that's your dog forever.
Yeah, bro. And then it was just, like – it was, like, our – that was, like, the very, very beginning. And then, you know, we were friends, but it was more so, like, friends on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if we saw each other in the hallway, it'd be like, what's up, you know? But then it was just we would hang from here to time, like time to time, but we really became friends. When I went to culinary school, he was in art school. When I would come back home from New York when I was living out there, he would just hit me up like, yo, what's up, bro? You want to cook? And I'd be like, sure. And he would come over to the crib. Basically, he would raid his mom's fridge. I would raid my mom's fridge, and we'd show up with whatever we had, and we'd like make something. And then I would go back to New York, we'd keep in touch, and then I would see on his Instagram, like, he was cook all the time. And I was like, dude, you should think about becoming a chef. And he's like, you know, I'm in art school, da 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 da. And long story short, like, I was in his DMs, like, yo, you need to drop out, which is not, it's kind of a bad influence, whatever you want to call it. But basically, one day he texted me, he's
like, it's the gamble.
Yeah, and then I was, because when we would cook, I'm like, bro, like, I work with professional chefs. I'm like, dude, like, you're really good. You know what I mean? For especially not having any training at that point, I'm like, you're naturally really good at this and you should consider it. And basically one day he texted me and was like, yo, I did it. I dropped out. I was like, yeah, this is kind of crazy. But then it was just like a path of us getting to know each other. But then when I left New York, I moved to Iowa, which is where I was born. And actually coming back from New York, I kind of like vowed to never cook again. Cooking in New York is a whole nother level.
Just gassed out?
Yeah, I was gassed out and like, shout out to my chef. Like he did what he needed to do, but it was crazy. Like what you see on Hell's Kitchen and all those TV shows that you like think they're acting, like it was just like that. Like, crazy. Like, but looking back, it was like, I wouldn't be where I'm at without going there. Like they just had such extremely high standards and they expected a lot out of me, which was really good. And like, I was up for the challenge. Looking back, like I had no reason to even be in there. I kind of got the gig because my dad knew a chef there who kind of just like connected the dots. And I just showed up one day for my internship and I tried my hardest. And I made so many mistakes. I'd ask a lot of questions, but like I wouldn't talk. I would just do what they asked and ask a bunch of questions. But it was just very, very, very high tense. It was just
that was insane. Like a stress.
Oh, like bro, I would cry in the walk-in all the time, and I'd call my mom like, I can't do it, and they would encourage me. But so then I went back to Iowa. I ended up bumping into where you went. I got a text from my mom.
Oh, where we did the pop-up?
Yeah. At Cobble.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So my mom was following this restaurant on Instagram and they made a post like, hey, we're looking for a cook. I was there visiting my dad, like with no plan of like my life, like nothing. I was just going to see my dad and I really had like no plan of when I was gonna come back or not. I was just trying to go kick it with my dad. She convinced me to go to this restaurant for a stage. And I was like, I'm not going, like, I don't want to work at some like shitty Cedar Rapids restaurant, which it's like, I didn't know what I was talking about.
You don't. Gas.
I really gas. So I like showed up there with my knife kit. And it was just a completely different atmosphere, bro. It's a lot like how the biscuit joint is. Like we were having they had music bumping. We were having fun. It was just completely different, but the level of food was just as good. So I was there for about 3 years. But then when I came back, I was looking for a roommate and I knew Brandon lived downtown. So I just texted him like, hey dude, like I'm moving back. I need a roommate. He was dating a girl at the time. So he's like, I'm living with my girlfriend. I can't do that. And like, I think it was 3 days before I moved back. He's like, yo, we broke up. You still need a roommate? And I was like, actually I do. So he was actually in the loft before I even like got there. So then that was really when everything, like as far as our friendship, exploded from there. He helped me get a job at Vicia, and bro, really it was like just never looked back. We've been best friends ever since.
No, for sure. And that's more of the frequency circle. Having been from like going journeying through in Iowa and New York City back to St. Louis, how has that shaped who you are today?
Oh, it's shaped me like crazy. It's like different. Well, one, in career-wise, it's just showing me what type of chef I wanted to be. Like, I don't want to be a chef that's like, I say the majority of chefs are very like militant, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's a lot of, I guess, anger in the way they lead. I guess they kind of like make you do the right thing because you're scared not to. Not because you want to do it right. At least that's what
I feel that.
It's what I experienced a lot in the beginning of my career, which it's like I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, don't get me wrong. And Chef Eric, Chef Artie, Chef Greg, like those are my guys for real. And I'm so thankful for like what I got to see there. But then going to Iowa, seeing the same like high standard that they have, but it was like so loving. And he encouraged us to have our own ideas, to put dishes on the menu, to like, say what you thought about this or that. And it was like, it was so refreshing. And I've always kind of been like the jokester. I like to crack jokes. I like to have fun. You see me, like, I'm singing, I'm dancing. Like, there was none of that in New York, like, at all. But, like, Andy really let me be myself. He almost encouraged it because he, like, saw, well, I probably performed better when I was that way, but it also, like, created that throughout the whole restaurant. So I think that was just big. But also just, like, seeing different lifestyles, you know, from New York to Iowa to St. Louis. And then I grew up out in the suburbs, so that was, like, just seeing, there's like, I think people like really have their lives in a box because it's all they see, which I'm thankful I didn't really experience that. I've seen all different walks of life, and I think it really helps me like appreciate like my path in life and just like have a better understanding that like not everybody has it like I have it. Like I'm extremely blessed, and not everybody has gotten to live a life like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's facts for sure. And what was, I love hearing that. So what was like that journey? What was that moment you were like, I'm gonna cook though? Like, and that sent you to New York?
So I was a busser at, this is my first job. I was a busser. And I remember seeing the chef, well, one, which we've kind of talked about, and it's like football was everything for me, bro. That's all I cared about. Like, I didn't want to play basketball. Didn't want to wrestle. Didn't want to run track. Like, it was just football, football, football. And like I loved being on a team, and I think it was the first time that I felt like I was on a team again. And I just had to do my part and do my part well, and they do their part and they do their part, and together we like create this atmosphere. So I think that was a big part of it. But then when I went to culinary school, like basically there was one 10 minutes from my house. I called them. They had me come do a trail where they just tell you this is what it's going to look like. These are the classes. And like it was like 5 minutes in, I looked at my parents and I was like, this is it, man. Like I felt it like so, like to my core. I'm like, I'm gonna be a chef. And honestly, I have never looked back. I've only worked in restaurants. I worked for a moving company for like 1 week. I worked for a moving company for like 1 week.
I'm dying.
My last job was, we had to move this, it was this old lady. She had like 10 cats. Bro.
He's in there sneezing.
Bro, I'm allergic to cats.
Oh my goodness.
And I remember it was like the heat of summer, so it was like 100 degrees. And I'm like picking up couches. And I remember setting the couches down. There's like cat hair stuck.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, I couldn't scratch because I bite my nails. So, bro, it was the worst day of my life. I swear. I was just like itchy and sweaty all day, having asthma. And then I looked at my friend. I'm like, nah, bro, this ain't for me.
That's hilarious.
But really, it was really the second I was in a restaurant, I knew that I was going to be in a restaurant. But, like, actually, funny story. Before I was a chef, I wanted to work front of house. I was pretty, like, gung-ho on being front of house because I liked being in the dining room and, like, being a part of.
Feeling the experience.
Yeah,
the vibe, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be stuck in the back. But then I just kind of thought about, I've always been like kind of good at cooking. Like I remember very vividly, like third grade, like I would come home and make myself food. And it wasn't like microwave. Like I would season a chicken breast. I'd cook it. I'd try different things every day. And like looking back, I'm like, it makes a lot of sense that mm-hmm. I am a chef. But in the moment, I just like, I liked to eat good. And my parents were working. So I was like, I'm just going to learn how to cook.
Got to try.
Yeah.
I feel that. So I let all the guests ask me two questions. What's one of the two you got for me?
First question. Let's see. I got like five. I was thinking
about
it.
You can do whatever.
All right, cool. So let's say if you guaranteed you won't fail, like 100% you're going to succeed, but it's going to take like 10 years of work before you get the reward, what would it be? Until you get to the goal.
That's
the reason I asked that is because like I was thinking recently, and like from the time I was 19, so I went to culinary school when I was 19, and I was 31 when I opened the restaurant. So 11, 12 years later, and it's like it blipped by. But I was like, so if it was guaranteed, there's no way that you fail, but it's going to take 10 years before you get there, what would it be?
That's tough. I feel like I say this a lot, but I feel like we all kind of know what we're meant to do here, you know, in a way. So I just feel like I've really been chasing that. And I felt like it was sports for a while, COVID, and, you know, COVID happened and took that away. Like, I went and played JUCO football and was top of the top, and, you know, but, and I was like, you know, God is really telling me that this is not like what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. So that's honestly when I picked up the mic, and it's already been 5 years since COVID, and I feel like, you know, I was just getting with Cammy and looking at, knowing what I know is going to come to light within the pod, and I went back and like watched a whole bunch of pods that like, bro, maybe got like 10 views, but or like some of my deepest moments and like, you know, conversations, just talking to myself about like what I want and stuff, and like see this visioning. And so I really been feeling it, you know, and I always go back to like, cause that's why I love being at the Biscuit. So I'm like, we're always talking about like, you know, more and more, but you always talk about, you know, we just got to be here now and just the next service, you know, just having a good service, you know, and just, me and Brandon were talking about, it's just the small wins, you know? So I just feel like I'm really in that. And I do feel like I feel that. That's why I feel like, you know, I send you the rocket ship all the time, you know, yeah, like bro. you don't latch onto things that are a waste of time, you know? So I just feel like I'm really in it.
Dude, I feel that, like, just through meeting you, bro. And once you told me you did podcasts, it's like, I could see it, bro. And it's like, you know, bro, I believe in you like crazy.
Yeah.
Bro. And
that's what makes me go harder.
And it's like, I really feel like I know you might not be where you want to be at this moment, but I think you're on the same path that me and Brandon were on. And it's like, I didn't doubt it for a second. I'm like, I'm going to get to where I'm going to go because we had genuine, it was all genuine. And like, even for you, it's not about like, look at me, like, yeah, look at my podcast. Like,
I just enjoy it.
You want to put other people on this way. You are like, I like that you are not choosy, but you pick people that you believe in and you want to highlight them. And I just think that's dope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel the same way. It gets crazy. It's crazy what people can do when you like encourage them and believe in them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, I'm so blessed. Like, my mom is crazy. My mom, for as a little boy, and I remember it vivid, my entire life just telling me, like, you're going to do such amazing things. Don't let no one tell you you can't do this. And, like, I truly, truly feel that way.
I felt that as a boy, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Bro.
And you just got to do something in this world. You know, I want to be that, or, you know, yeah, I'm Spider-Man, or just, you feel like you can do something.
Dude, and it's like, I'm so thankful for my parents for making me feel that way. Because, like, even when it was hard or whatever it is, I, like, just felt in my soul like I was on the path that I was supposed to be on. Mm-hmm. And then when you, like, get around other people who feel the same way, it's just, like, encourages you even more. You know, like, you seeing you, like, you doing your thing makes me want to do my thing even more.
I feel
that. Like, or just support people. I think it's also important to, like, I've never been, like, I've always been okay being a part of someone else's dream.
Right.
You know, like,
that's why I work at the Biscuit.
Yeah, bro. And I can feel that, bro.
And I'm not like, man, you know, I hate work. I don't show up like that. Like, no. I love the Biscuit.
And
like,
that's important. You know? And it's important. Like, no one can do anything without someone else.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's like a solo art or whatever it is, someone's encouraging them or helping them, whether it's financially or giving them ideas. It's like, I've always taken that role very seriously. Like, if I gotta wash dishes tonight, I'm gonna wash dishes, like, whatever it is. And there's a lot I realize now, like, that's not normal. Like, some people want to be the main character all the time. It's just like not how it works.
No, bro, you know I'll be in that corner washing dishes all night.
Bro, you're my guy.
All night.
And dude, that's
because I know that's what you need, like, that's what you guys need, and it takes a team, you know. Yeah. That's why people ask, like, how long you guys been here, because it's ran like it's been here, like, you know. Yeah. everyone runs on a well-oiled machine to where, like, you know, we've been doing this, but we're just getting started, you know.
Yeah, it is wild because people are shocked to figure out we've been open less than a year and a half, because it's like we're grooving, we're flowing over there, and it's like it's very natural. And I feel like people feel that too, because it's like they can see that it's not for like any we're there just because we want to feed people good breakfast,
right?
And like I always say to you guys, like, there's a lot of times where there's a good chance we're the first person someone talks to
yeah
in a day. and like we could either make their day or break their day. And I feel like you can see it. People come in like they want to be mad. They want to be grumpy, and we'll pull them out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And like that is the best feeling.
I love it too. So that kind of journeys into my next question. Like, so you're actually sober now. We'll go more into the sobriety side. But when you were drinking, because like you told me, like when you tell me, like, man, I was an alcoholic, I'm like, I look at you, I'm like, bro, there's no way like you were.
Yeah.
And it just cracks me up. But like when you were drinking, were you running away for something, chasing a high that you once had with like maybe a bottle or something? Like, what were you living in?
I think it was kind of a gradual thing. I think at first I didn't really drink until I was, I want to say 19, 20, which I think is like late for most people,
yeah.
which is wrong. But I was like, in high school, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't do anything. Like, I would worry about, like I said, I worried about football. And I would do my schoolwork and play video games. That's pretty much all I did. So when I moved to New York and got into the restaurant scene, like, that's just normal. Like, substance abuse in restaurants is very, very normalized. And it's not okay, you know. But I wanted to kind of fit in with everyone. So when we would get off of work, the older guys would be like, let's go get a beer. They knew the bartender, and they never asked my age. So I would just like, I didn't even like beer, but I would just wanted to drink because they were drinking.
Yeah.
And then from there, I really enjoyed cocktails. And honestly, it was more about like the flavor. I love trying, like, let's try this with this. Like, what if I eat this while so it was really like about my palate at first. And then I think I started going out, and then even then I was never really like drinking to like feel drunk. Like, that was just something that happened. I was really just like having fun. I think when like the stresses of life, like when Stevie had Scout, that was part of it. And then, you know, managing, like working, being a chef, it was just a lot. And then I think that's kind of when it changed. It's weird because it's like,
well, you're stressing like being a dad?
Being a dad, being a chef, like I put a lot of pressure on myself to show up for the people around me. And I think when
you didn't earn it, or like you were not supposed to be here, to where it's like bullshit?
Yeah, or it's like I would just like work so much and it was like relief. But it was crazy, like it happened before I noticed. And then I think it was like one day I really like dawned on me, like, yo, I got a real like legit drinking problem. So then I think when it got really bad, when me and Scout's mom split and I was like living alone again, I think it just like the sadness of that happening was really what like revved it up. And then it was like I wasn't drinking for fun. It was like for relief. Which is just a slippery slope. And then, you know, like I got a D-dub before, so that was a big part of me like waking up. But I think the real like kicker that I was like, yo, this is not all right, was I landed my dream job when I lived back in St. Louis at Taste, mm-hmm. in Central West End. And it was just really hard. Like, it was a very hard job.
In the kitchen?
Yeah. And I think looking back, like maybe I wasn't prepared for the job like I thought I was. And then it just really got out of hand. Like, I would just I'd drink in the morning, I'd drink in the middle of the day, I'd drink at night. Like, I was straight up.
Were you functioning?
Yeah, bro. That's what's crazy. It was like in my head, it's like as long as I'm a good chef and I'm being a good dad, then like it doesn't really matter what I'm doing outside of that. At least that's what I told myself. But like, I think when I woke up was kind of like, there was times where I would put drinking or going out or even work above like my responsibilities. Like, I was a good dad, but I wasn't as good of a dad as I could have been. Like I say now, like I'm very proud about like at the dad I am now. Like I feel like I am doing like as good as I can be in that area. But I think it was just like waking up, noticing like, you know, like, dude, you really have like a real problem. And every bad thing that happened in my life I was drunk. So it's like, I really had this moment, like, if you're ever gonna reach where you wanna reach, like, you have to tackle this problem and you just gotta face it head on. And I think a big part of that was, like, I started really tapping into my faith and getting into church again. And it's wild, like, how I stopped drinking. It was legit overnight, like, basically a bad.
Did your mom, like, your mom and, like, them know you, like, had a problem?
Or was
that something
so.
You kind of, like, had hidden? Or you just, like, you know how parents are, too.
They definitely knew, but I think they also were, like, if you've ever been around someone with substance abuse, like, banging it over their head isn't really the way.
Yeah.
You know, you really just got to love on them and, like, help pull them up. And it's not like you just need to sit there and watch it happen. You know, you need to, like, hold them accountable. But my mom was definitely a big part of it, would just say things here and there, be like, I'm praying for you, you know? But then it was like overnight, bro, basically my life, like everything hit the fan. So it's like, I got fired from Taste, ultimately for drinking at work. Which it's like we were doing great, you know, we were crushing service day after day. But I'm like legit sneaking in the walk-in, drinking my entire shift. So like getting fired from there and then realizing like a big part of me and Scout's mom splitting was my drinking. So then it was just like, I guess a combination of all those things was just like, you know, like, this type of stuff is going to continue until you face this. Like, it's not okay. And then I think from there, I just kind of, something that helps me keep going is I have a lot of friends who kind of follow suit, and I'm not because of me, but it's like, you know, like my pastor always says, like, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And it's like, I really wanted to, like, just be a better example for everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started seeing, like, not only did my sobriety, like, impact my life, but it was impacting the people around me, it kind of just made me want even more. And it, like, I felt a responsibility to, like, not give up, because I realized there's people that are looking at me, including Scout, you know. Like, it runs in my family. Alcoholism runs in my family real bad. And it's like, I don't want it. Like, I do not want her to fall into that. And there's a good chance that she would have if I never would have faced my things. So, like, it's really just being a better person in general. But more so, it just allows me to, like, show up for people the way I want to be able to show up.
For sure. Kind of going back to Scouter B, you having a black dad, white mom, you know, Scouter's mix. What's, like, and you just represent love at the end of the day. Like, what's, like, the biggest thing you learned coming up as a kid and you kind of try to relay to Scouter?
Just to be like, well, one, just work hard. Yeah, but separately of that, just to love everybody. You know, it's weird. Like, I went to where I grew up out in Wentzville. I think there is a lot of, like, closet racism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking back, there's a lot of moments where things were said to me or things were done to me around me that were like very normal, that is just like not okay, you know? But seeing like, oh, like same thing, like seeing all these different paths of life where it's like, my dad was very big on bringing me downtown and like getting me around black culture because I wasn't around it, you know?
I was going to ask, was, like, getting away from Wentzville, like, make you, like, get into your culture more?
Absolutely. And then, so, my dad in Iowa, he was the same thing. Like, every time I would go there, he was very big on, like, taking me to, like, Boys and Girls Clubs. Like, on the every summer, I would go to the Boys and Girls Club. And it was honestly, like, the most...
All
I was,
black people.
Yeah, bro. Like, and I was, like, wasn't around that. But I loved that. And it was like, I'm really, really thankful that my dad was like adamant about putting me in those situations to where like I wasn't ignoring my culture. And then I think as an adult, it really was more so like something that I really, really was more intentional about like learning more about it or just being more submerged in it. And it's like, I was always pulled towards it, you know? But it's just, I think for Scout in general, cause she's, it's something she does, like she has a hard time understanding.
What culture?
Yeah, well, like, cause her skin's really like fair. Mm-hmm. So it's like explaining to her, and like she goes to school, like the Rittner School District. So mm-hmm. like most of her class is brown. And so sometimes she's like, well, she says clear. So she's like, I have clear skin. And I was like, yeah, Scotty, but you're brown too. But it's in your, like, it's in your heart. It's in your blood. And that's like something, it's been like a growing thing where I'm trying to get her to understand, like, you're both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like growing up, people would be like, well, you don't look black. You're not. So you're not actually black.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that too. Like growing up in Wentzville, did you have like friends that kind of like made you feel like you should accept it more of another side than your culture?
Oh, 100%.
Bro. I did too.
And it's like,
weird. It's a weird thing.
Dude, it's weird to be like, well, you're not, like, you don't look black. Yeah, you're black, but you're not black. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And like looking back, like I was saying before, I'm like, I can't believe I was okay with someone saying that to me. And like, bro, I went through like a period of my life. I think it was like during COVID when, you know, like a lot of the race stuff was really revved up.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time. Like I talked to my dad and my family about it because I would feel like almost like I would feel bad like saying that I was black. And it's like something I had to work
during the COVID times.
Yeah, but it's like,
nah,
it wasn't that I was ashamed. Like I was very, very proud, but like I would feel like bad or like I didn't deserve to say that because mm-hmm. my skin's fair. Like I don't think I've had to deal with I've dealt with racism plenty of times in my life, but I've like felt really bad that I didn't deal with it the same way that someone with darker skin might deal with it.
Cause you had both sides and you had to question it.
Yeah. And it's like, but now it's like, but it was so,
you stand on culture.
Yeah. I stand on it. And I always have, like, it's never been something I tried to hide ever in my life. Like I've always been very proud of that, but it was like, it was weird. Like I almost felt bad towards the black community that like, because it's like, even still, like to this day, it's like, I'm, like I said, I'm very proud, but it's like, I felt like since I didn't have to deal with the things that other people in my culture have, that like, I didn't have the right to claim it as hard as they claimed it, which is like, it's a lot. That's not true.
It's not true.
All.
Yeah.
It's not true at all. But it was like a real process.
I can
like,
see that.
It was a real process that I had to like work through and like, talk to my dad, talk to like my uncles, talk to a lot of different people about, because it was like, it was just a weird emotions around it, because it's like I stand, like if I had to choose, I'm black over white all day.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm extremely proud of my culture, but it's like, I just didn't feel like I deserved to claim it. Which is kind of crazy, but it's like, I think if a lot of people are like a lot of biracial, I think like I've talked to a lot of biracial people about it too, and they feel the same way. And it's like,
they can't fully claim it, but they want to.
Yeah. Which is weird, dude. Cause
I've never heard it like that.
It shouldn't be that way. Mm-mm. But it's like, even in high school, it's like, I'm like, I was too black for the white kids and I was too white for, it was like, it really went both ways. And it was like, it's like, and that's another thing that I think is interesting about being mixed was I've experienced racism in different ways from both sides.
Right.
Where it's like I was saying, like I was too black for the white kids and I was too white for the black kids. And it was like, which is just, and that's like something, so like going back to your question, that's like something I'm really trying to teach Scout was like, one, like people's opinion doesn't matter because who you are and where you come from is very real and no one can take that from you. Like they didn't give that to me.
That's what I love when Scout comes in the biscuit and just vibes. Like that's all culture. You know, like, and she knows who the unks are and stuff. Like that stuff matters.
Absolutely. And I just feel like it's important moving forward that like even this conversation, like more people need to have these conversations, because you just don't know what someone's feeling. And it's like, you, like, no one has the right to say someone is or isn't enough.
Anything. And just like, that's why I love the biscuit too. Like, you know, people come in as who they want to be and who they are, and we don't.
It doesn't matter.
Like, it's not like you can't eat here.
No, bro. Yeah, that's everyone. Everyone's welcome. Unless you're outward right spreading hate.
Yeah, and we won't serve that.
Nah, you got to get out.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, whoever you are, whatever path you're in, and that's like my favorite part about Biscuit Joint is like, every person in line is completely different from the 100%. Other ones. But we treat everyone the same. And that's what I love about food is at the end of the day, we're all sitting in the same room, eating the same food. We're all on the same level. And I feel like maybe there's not a lot of places in the world that are like that. So I'm happy that the Biscuit Joint can be one of them.
For sure. And it is that, bro. People leave there. Like, I was telling Brandon earlier. Brandon asked me, he was like, what do I love about, like, what I want to bring to, like, food service? And I was like, just people remembering the experience. That's why when people walk in the door, I don't go, hey, my name's Swerve. Like, I go, hey, have you been here before? Mm-hmm. And then give them the experience to, like, order and sit down and all that. It's about, like, and then when people fully get that and then it changes their mood, then they, when they come back, like, hey, what was your name? And then the Biscuit Joint and typing them reviews, yeah, that's the stuff that matters.
Yeah, so, and that's, like, and that's another thing that kind of led me to food because, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, fire food's fire food to anyone. Like, mm-hmm. It don't matter who you are. Like, it's bomb, period. And, like, same thing with dinner at the Loft. It's like, here's 24 people who probably would never, ever sit. Well, actually, to go back to when it was at my loft, it was 8 people at my dining room in, like, a loft. So it's like, at 7 o'clock, 8 random people, and we would never look up who they were. Like, we would see them through the Instagram to see when they bought their tickets. But at the end of the day, there's 8 people at one dining room table who probably would never in a million years speak to each other or be in this atmosphere. And then by the end, everyone's friends. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important to, like, we're all this, at the end of the day, we're all the same. We all have our own individual challenges. Everyone deals with outside opinions the same way. And I think it's easy to look at someone else and be like, my problems are bigger than yours or whatever. Like, bro, we're all going in the same direction a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are sad. A lot of people are anxious. And it's like, but if you pull that away, it's like you realize there's a lot more in common than people think. Mm-hmm. And like, we would always start out our dinners. So like, our dinners started during COVID, like we were saying about, it's like I would start off by saying at every dinner, I'd be like, listen, there's a lot going on in the world. You know, there's all these political things and whatever. And I would be very adamant about this. I'm like, no one will bring this up. We are not here to talk about anything that's happening in the world. We're here to enjoy food together. And it's like, so for the next 2 hours, let's all forget any of this even is happening. And let's just enjoy this meal together. And it's like wild. Like, there's people that are like best friends now because of those dinners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, Samir.
Yeah.
So you remember the last or 2 dinners ago, that like big group that sat together, mm-hmm. they met in my loft at a dinner. And it's it's crazy. Now they like
a whole, they're all from different walks of life too.
Yeah, bro. But then like, you'll see them post, like I follow them all on Instagram, and now they like go and eat at all these restaurants. Those 8 people.
That's tough.
And it's like, that's crazy. And that was like, that's what it's about, you know? Because it's just like, I mean, back to what I was saying, like, we're all the same in our own way. It's mm-hmm. like, it's just like, it's very easy to forget those things or maybe like put yourself above or below other people. But it's like, bro, we're all just people trying. That's really all it is.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what matters, man. We're all trying, for real. And we all got our own walks that are different. So that's why I live by that. I don't judge no one by their cover or, like, their, you know, what they come from. Because you don't know what they got going on at home.
Yeah.
So what would be your next question for me?
Dang, I forgot what was. What was my question? I got one. So what is... What's your favorite trait about yourself that's like not a physical trait? Like, whether it be your work ethic, compassion, whatever. Where do you think that, like, this is what makes Swerve Swerve?
Staying true, you know, to like everybody that kind of encounters me. They're gonna get the same Swerve. I feel like, you know, I don't try to be different to try to someone to try to read me to be a good person or try to attack relationships and things. I just kind of present myself, and then people can accept that or not. So I just kind of try to stay true.
Dude, yeah, and it's crazy you said that, because that's one of my favorite, like, that's one of my favorite things about you. And I remember when we ate dinner at Louis.
Yeah.
And
for Brandon's birthday.
Yeah, and like someone was telling you like to like when people like I love like whether it's a police officer, whether it's a kid or white, black, Indian, don't matter. When they walk in, you're like, "Yo, what's good, my guy?"
Yeah, what's up, my guy? Yeah, what's up?
And I love that about you, bro. And then remember when we were at Louis?
And
we could hear Jordy. He was just like being a server. He's loud and he's just like out there. And I was like, I remember us having a conversation. You're like, you see that, bro? Like, he's one of the best servers in the whole city, bro. Like, and you ask anybody who's ate there, they're going to bring up Jordy, and he's not an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just works there. But he is who he is. And
that's why people come back too.
And he is who he is. And that's like, it's so important, because it's just, like, there's only one you, and no one can be you better than yourself. So it's like, you just got to own it and rock out. And it's like you said, like, accept it, don't accept it. I'm going to be myself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I like that you answered that way, because I've always felt that way about you.
Yeah, and I feel like that's just important, you know. I've just had a lot of friends that I thought were my friends and just end up being something else. And I just never want to be that. And, you know, it's just crazy how life journeys, you know. I feel like you go back to thinking high school, like, these are going to be my friends for life. And then,
dude,
that stuff switches up. And then, like, you're just like, you know, it just takes people really accepting you and, you know, all different. It's just weird, man.
And, oh, and I bet you had similar experiences to, like, I grew up in Wentzville. You grew up in Farmington. And, like, I'm sure in a lot of different ways we had similar experiences along those lines. Like, you were, like, I remember there was times like, well, I don't like someone saying something like, I don't like black people, but I like you.
And I'm like, what?
And I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, that's crazy. And I'm like, I'm sure you've heard something just like that. And it's like,
but they mean that too.
They mean it. Yeah. Bro. But like, and like I said, like, I can't believe I was okay. Like, that was my friend.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like, just laughed it off. And it's like, you know, it's maturing, you know, it's not like, it's like, well, one, it's like, I don't blame them. Like, they were taught to feel that way, you know, like, that's another thing I feel like I've learned over time was, especially being a parent,
mm-hmm.
like, a lot of what people act or say, they were taught to feel that way. People aren't born that way. Like, hate isn't something you're born with. Someone taught you to feel that way. And it's like, I just want to be sure that I'm teaching Scout to not feel that way, because that's what I was taught. And like, we have great parents. Like, your dad's dope.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I was I called you a few days ago, I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm just talking to my dad. And it's like, even conversations I've heard when you guys are right there, and it's like, I can tell he took the time to build the character that you have.
For
like,
sure.
You didn't just end up that way.
Yeah.
Like, someone taught you to feel that way. And I feel like that's extremely
important.
That's
why I love you too, bro, because like, and then me and Cammy, like, we talk about that off cameras. Like, it can be easy not to be a dad, you know? But, yeah. Like, it's just, that's, you know, it's your choice of, like, what you want to do and, like, remap and truly be there. And, you know, we know what we're doing at the end of the day when that happens and, like, you got kids and stuff. But I just don't, you either want to be a parent or not, you know? And I'm glad my dad has always been there, and it has built me who I am today. And I just stand on that. And that's why I respect guys like you and guys who just move correct, like, within that, you know?
Yeah. So, well, it's like, also, you can have a kid and not be a father.
Yeah.
And not be a dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people, like, just because you pay child support don't make you a dad.
No.
Like, you got to show up. And I think, like, back to when we were talking about me drinking, I think that was where I lacked the most. Like, I was there financially. Like, even when I was in the house, like, I'd have her, I was around, but like, I just didn't take it as seriously as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't see, like, I didn't take that role of being her dad as seriously as I should have. And like, there was a process, there was a long process of
to grow into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I feel like her mom instantly, or like anytime, like she was just like a great mom instantly, like boom. And she just like was so good at it. And I look at like, it, I feel like it took me a second to grow into that, which I was so excited to be a dad, but that I don't think I truly understood. Like, I didn't understand what that really meant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I do. And I'm like, it is a process of time where I would like, there was a lot of like guilt and like of things of just like not being the dad that I wanted to be. Or maybe like, but it wasn't, I think I just didn't know how. You know what I mean?
You had to grow to it.
Yeah. Like, I just like wasn't mature enough or didn't understand like the value of being a great dad. But now specifically, especially being, having a daughter, like the way I treat her, like I'm the first man that ever loved her and that she's ever loved. And I think from there, a lot will, it'll base a lot of her life on like how her boyfriends are going to be able to treat her, or her
accountability,
or her husband, or like all these things. Like, I want her to be like, yo, my dad would like never allow that. Well, she knows. Well, I want her to know, one, like my dad would never allow that. And two, like, I see, even like co-parenting, like I want to treat her mom well, whether we're together or not. How I treat her mom is how she sees like a female and male dynamic.
100%. And that's her, like, mom.
Yeah, that's her mom. And it's important that I'm like doing what I need to do to teach her like what love looks like and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Because I had great parents and I like saw that version, you know. My parents are divorced. Like, I don't really remember them getting divorced, but their marriages now are so good, dude. Like, I have two extremely good models of like, that's how you treat a woman and like, that's how you treat your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what's also crazy is like, their marriages are so much, they're so different from one another. But at the end of the day, they love each other so much. They have an extreme amount of respect for each other. And it's like, it's on me to, and then even my parents after they split, you know, like, maybe they argued and maybe like, I never knew that. Like, whenever they were in the same room or whenever I was aware of them communicating, it was always respect. And it was like, that I'm just like thankful that I had that as an example.
For sure. That matters.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That matters for sure. I love that. You've been sober how long?
Almost 3 years.
3 years. So I know some days get hard. What keeps, like, how do you stay, like, in the now?
I pray. Dude, my faith. So when I stopped drinking was, so I grew up in church. And even throughout my 20s, there was periods where I would be in church. Like, even when I lived in New York, I would go to church by myself. But then I think I kind of veered away. I wouldn't say it was intentional, like I'm staying away from church. I just like, it wasn't a priority.
Mm-hmm.
When I stopped drinking the same week, I started going to church again. And honest to God, like anytime I wanted to drink, I would pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like sometimes 10 times a day. Like, and people are like, how'd you stop? I'm like, that's literally how I stopped. Every time I had a big urge, I would stop, I pray. And you see me now, like I'm a praying,
shift.
I don't know if you saw, like right before we started, I just like closed my eyes, said a quick little prayer. So honestly, God keeps me stable. Like really without God, bro, I truly, truly don't know like where I would be, how I would handle the pressures of a restaurant, because it's like, it's not like I don't want to. You know what I mean?
Oh, drink. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's also like I'm around it a lot, you mm-hmm. know. And I also like when I stopped drinking, it was very important to me that I wasn't like I wasn't gonna be the guy who's like, don't drink around me.
Right.
Like, or not go to a bar because I have to stay away. I just didn't want that to be what it is. So really, like, honestly, it's God. And it, I just feel like I've, he's given me the strength to do it, and he'll continue to.
For sure.
I also think that's just like, I've learned to trust God because of, like, that was a big step in it. But also like opening a restaurant, like, I don't know if, not a lot of people know, but I didn't have a dollar of money saved up to open a restaurant. Like, it's literally zero. I walked by that spot. No, my dad had a picture of it in his phone, and he was flipping through pictures with Scout. And I was just standing there. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, what is that? And he was like, oh, it's this spot up the street. I just saw it today. He's like, you want to go see it? Because he knew the, I guess, not the landlord, but like the realtor, whoever, mm-hmm. whoever was showing it, he personally knew him. And I remember walking in, and I looked around, and I was like, oh yeah, like this is mine. We're doing it. And it wasn't, the biscuit joint was not an idea at all. It was, I wanted it for dinner at the loft, because I was like, we just needed a space to like host our own dinners. And because we were just like paying venues, and we were like making no money. So we were really just doing it for fun at the end of the day. We'd like break even or maybe make a couple $100.
Just having fun, yeah.
But then like I remember getting to a point, you know, like I remember my pastor just talking about like God will walk you out into deep waters. Like you don't know God's power until you do something that you need. Like if it wasn't for God, it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had the lease on my phone and I was like, this is nuts. And like I told people about it. No one really believed that. Like they're like a biscuit spot. Like, what do you like, why? And I'm like, dude, it's going to be amazing. And I like felt that, but I like also was very aware, like, you know, starting a business with $0 is very dumb.
Gamble.
Like, yeah. And I remember just praying. I'm like, God, you promised that if I walk into deep waters, that you're going to sustain me and you'll keep me afloat. And I literally clicked the DocuSign. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, okay, I guess I better find some money now. And then like, it took me, like my parents, they lended me a couple $1,000 just to like get the ball rolling. And like, just at least like go to City Hall and like sign the things I needed to sign. And then I just started searching. And it's like, it's crazy. It seemed like right before you are like, all right, like now I'm really screwed. You'd get a text like, all mm-hmm. right, I got you. And then you're like, okay, cool. Then that money's gone. And I'm like, all right, now I need more.
Mm-hmm.
Start asking around. And then right when it's at the point where you're like, God, like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to do. You get another call and someone else helps. And then it was like, I also had no idea how to open a restaurant. Like it was
just here. Okay.
Yeah, bro, I swear, bro. So I literally like went to City Hall. I had like a piece of paper that said we had an LLC, and I had like a couple $1,000 on a business card. And I'm like, I want to open a restaurant. Where do I do? And they're like, go to room 406. I'm like, okay. So I go to room 406. And they're like, now go to this room. I'm like, all right. And then did that for like two weeks, basically, and signed this thing and signed that. Didn't even know what I was signing, but like they were telling me this is what I needed to do to get open. And one day they're like, all right, like you can open. And I'm like, all right.
Bet.
Now I'm like, now I need people to work here.
That's what's up, though. Yeah. I mean, all that's been a journey, though, and through chefs and all that. What's some chefs that blossomed you into like just even believing in that and taking that step and knowing that it's going to be amazing?
My mentor, hands down, Andy Schumacher, which you got to meet, Andy.
Yeah. I'll never forget at the pop-up when we were talking about Aura, right?
Like, yeah.
And, dude, like, you know, we're getting there, getting ready, and look up, take one order, look back up. It was packed, right?
Crazy,
and then,
bro.
So when Andy came in, all I feel something looking, like someone looking at me, all I see is Andy just
Yeah, bro.
But he's just taking in, like, you know, his young Sue. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I feel that too. And that's why, you know, I go hard for you and stuff, because, like, I don't know, you just place yourself around people that, you know, pillar you to be, like, you want to be like.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean,
I feel that with Andy.
Yeah, dude, and he's also, like, you know, his wife worked at the restaurant with him. His kids were always up there, and I just remember, like, so my parents, they were always running, like, they have always had Mother Model. It's always been in our house. Like, we've never, until now, there was, like, you couldn't Google them. Like,
right.
There was never a sign. They never had an office. It was either our basement or the top floor. And, like, I was just telling my parents, like, I'm like, I feel like mother's mine. Like, I feel like Love Is One is mine. And they would tell you it is, you know? And it's like, that's why I love Scout being there. Mm-hmm. That's why if she wants to take orders,
yeah, oh yeah, she's gonna get up there. Orders. Get your pat.
Yeah, if you want to help bread chicken, come bread chicken. Because I want her to feel like, I don't want her to feel like that's my dad's. Like, it's yours too. But seeing Andy do that, be a family guy and be a chef, have the awards, have this, but still hold down like his role as a dad, that was huge for me.
13
like,
years too, boy.
Yeah,
they've been rocking.
Dude, which is crazy. To have a restaurant open for that long is unheard of. Like, either they're forced to close or they decide to close. But here he is in his 13th year, just got a James Beard nomination. It's crazy. And, like, even when I was there last time, like, I had the moment to, like, really tell him. Because he's a...
I know why you went back, too. Feel it coming.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, I just needed to... I just told him, like, at the end, I'm like... I need you to know, like, how much you guys mean to me. Like, you mean so much to me.
You
got
to go back to them roots.
He was the first one to believe in me and, like, not, like, he, like, broke me out of the box. And he would tell me, like, yeah, that's a good idea, but you could do better. And, like, but it was never, like, out of, like, anger. Like, he truly.
Just real.
He, like, I felt like he truly, truly believed in me. And, like, I've had that throughout my life from my parents and family and stuff, but I think it was the first, like, professional person in my career to be like, you can do this. I believe in you. Keep trying. Keep pushing. You can do better. Or, yo, like, pipe down. Chill out. You know what I mean? But he always would, like, let me be me. But, like, hands down, without Andy, none of this happens, bro.
I feel that. That's what I always respect about, like, the first day we train. It was never like, this is like, it was never about like sales, you know? It was just really about like the high, like how you greet people, like the high and by. And I was like, well, that's simple. But like, you know, all this other shit's hard. Yeah, I was like, it's just the simplest part.
Yeah, but I remember like even Andy, like I'll never forget him saying this to me. He's like, I remember like, I'm like, that's all we're charging? Or like something along those lines. And he was like, money's just a means to get things done. And he's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He's like, what we have here, our team, our family, that's what matters. Money will come. And he's like, and money will go. But he's like, it's really important that we, like even like in our meeting yesterday, I'm like, at the end of the day, like, all this might end next year. This might not be here, but our friendships and these moments we create for other people will last forever if we make them that.
Right.
But it's like, if we don't make that, it'll never happen. And I think that's why that will keep money coming. But it's like, I hate money, bro. I really do.
I do too.
I hate having to have it. I hate that I want more of it. I really do. But it's like, I realize it's an important thing. But at the same time, it's like just being a good person, our character matters way more than any of that. It's like you see people collapse, the richest people in the world, they collapse every day. We see it all the time. They get to this point, you think like they're like on this high horse, and then you find out the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, I bet they would, if they could go back and not care as much about this or that, they probably would. But it's like they didn't, before they notice, they're already in this position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. And then for me, like, I want to be that person for people. Like, I want to encourage someone to, like, not care about that stuff. I mean, it's like, it's not about money. Like,
no.
It's cool. Like, yeah, it's nice making $1,000 or whatever, having a record-breaking day. But it's also, like, to have that record-breaking day, like, bro, Saturday, we was rocking. Drunk. Bro. And it was great. But it's, like, it was hard. You know what I mean? And it's, like, nothing easy. Like, it's never going to be easy. But I think, I think all of us collectively as a team, we really, really care about the experience that we're giving people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like we get better each day.
Oh, 100%, bro. But people, like, we get reviews. Like, that's... Every review we have says something about the way they were greeted, or like when people leave, all five of us have a good day. And it's like, that's not normal, but it's like, it's also like, you guys aren't doing it because I'm telling you to. Like, you guys really feel the same way as me. And when you get like a collective team that has the same idea and want to give the same experience, and it's not like, we get those reviews if I'm not there or if Brandon's not there. It's just like who we are. And I feel like the character of your business matters so much more than anything else.
For sure.
And everything else will follow.
For sure. One more question for you before we go to the last question in the Swerving Q&A. You say you didn't want a chef forever. Like, elaborate on that. Where does that come from? Just being tired from working? Or like, you just like, it's just you want to live outside of the kitchen? Or like experience?
Yeah, I definitely want to live outside of the kitchen, but I just feel like...
But you're good at it. You know, it'd be different if, like, you were just doing it to get by.
Yeah, well, like, I was talking to my mom. Like, if I die and they're like, here lies Elliot. He was a great chef. Like, in my mind, that is
more to that.
A complete waste of life.
You know there's more to you than that, though.
I do, but...
You're just, like, that's what you settle up on. Because we all want a lot. Like, we all want more to do.
But. Yeah, no, 100%. And, like, I'm very proud of, like, the work I do, being a chef, like, all that. I just, like, I think, like, for instance, I just feel like, I hate saying I have more to offer because, like, that's not how I think about it. I just really hope that it's a springboard to something else. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to, like, maybe have, like, a foundation or... Like, I would love to do, like, travel the world. I want to help people on a bigger scale. Like, not just giving them good food, but, like, doing something that impacts the world that when I die, like...
Legacy.
It's exactly, legacy. And, like, maybe I can... Like, I could probably have that legacy being a chef. I just feel like there is going to come a point where I don't want to cook anymore, you know? It's like, even like, it started as a hobby... And now, like, I hate cooking for myself, bro. Like, I hate it. And it's, like, that really bothers me because I used to love it. But it's, like, now it's just, like, my job. It's what I do. So I really hope it just, like my ideal job, like, I would love to be, like, Jimmy Fallon or someone like that. And, like, just, I don't know. It's something that, like, I pray about it. Like, I'm, like, I hope... Like, I pray to God to, like, reveal to me the next steps. And not that I'm, like, in a rush to get there, but I hope there does come a time where it's, like, it's less about cooking food and making, like, running a business. Like, I would love to be a coach.
Yeah.
Like, coach football or whatever it is. It's not that I, like, don't want to be a chef that bad. It's just I think it would be I hope it's a springboard to something more.
For sure. Not selling up. I feel that. Let's get to some Swerving Q&A, and then I'll let you in on the last question for me because I want to hear one more. What's something, if money wasn't a factor, what would you do with your time?
If money wasn't a factor, I would be a coach.
Yeah.
I would love to coach football. Like, I think that would be, like, my ultimate dream to, like, even, like, because I'm sure you have a coach that you're, like, that one coach.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's, like, and I feel like I could do that in a kitchen too, but I would love to do it for like the youth to like just empower a kid to like instill the
coaches shape who you are too as a man.
Dude, crazy, bro.
Like, it matters.
I can just think about, and it was wild even like specifically I had a coach, Andre. He was so hard on me, bro. And I remember like a lot of times it would break me down, but like looking back, it's like he saw more in me than I saw. And so I think I definitely would want to be a coach.
For sure. What's something surprising you learned about yourself?
I'm very resilient. Like, I think I'm really good at taking punches, and I also think I perform best in chaos. Like,
when boy, we be getting smacked, nigga. You over there? Whoa! I'm like, what is wrong with this dude? Like,
I show up whenever things get the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm really good at like staying calm.
I feel that.
Like even when like the team's kind of like, I'm good at being like
grounded.
Yeah, ground everybody. And I've kind of always been that way in kitchens. Like, I can manage the chaos really well.
I feel that. Yeah, that's a good answer. I like that. Because I feel like I wouldn't have thought you answered like that. But yeah, dude, we be jumping. Elliot be loving that. I'm like, bro, I'm over here stressing. Like, you tripping.
I'm like, we're good, bro.
What's one thing you want to accomplish that you haven't yet?
I think, like I was saying earlier, like, I really have a heart for the homeless. I think that would be something, especially in our city. I think they go very unforgotten. So I think if I could accomplish something like now, it would be to create like some type of foundation, whether it's, or like somewhere for them to go. Like, someone's sleeping outside tonight, that's just like not okay. It's not all right. So I think if I had to accomplish something that I haven't yet, it would definitely be to start building something within like our businesses or something that is really geared towards helping the homeless.
Collective effort. I feel that. That'd be dope. I think that's doable too. Yeah. What was your last question for me?
Oh.
Before I get to your last one.
Your last question. Ooh, it's hard. I guess, man, this is hard. I had like 5 questions, bro.
Go ahead. Anything.
Do you, I guess for you, like, what do you see for your future? Like, I know you're a big family guy. Like, is that something that, like, it's, I know you're not dating anyone at the moment. And I know you're like extremely locked in. Is that like something you're actively trying to like seek out in your life, or are you just kind of like waiting to see what life brings at the right time?
I mean, I feel like we all are, you know, but I feel like you kind of, and I feel like I've done all the personal searching to like that I need to do within myself to grow as a man. So I don't really need to do any more of that. It's just more being like accountable every day, showing up, doing the right things and evolving. I feel like the right things will come, like a lady and stuff. And you guys have taught me more of like not to look, just be here, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of getting more into that, you know? So I do see myself being a husband and all that. It's kind of just not rushing things. And
oh, you're gonna be a fire dad.
Yeah, I do. I've had girls I've talked to that I don't talk to no more, but there was like, wait till you have a kid or something. I'm like, what?
Dude,
wait.
You're gonna be such a good dad.
But bro, I was like, you know, I do feel that, and you know, I do want to leave a legacy behind too. But I'm not in a rush for nothing. Great things come later.
Yeah, you just getting started.
No, for sure. And who you want to see on Swerving?
Metro.
Metro. We do need that. That's gonna happen in due time.
Facts.
Facts. I love you, my guy.
Man, I love you too, my guy.
I'm happy. It's Chef Elliot Brown.